talking about a home.
From the people who bring you Charleston Home and Design Magazine, the Charleston Home and Design Show, the Daniel Island Luxury Home Tour, the Charleston Fall Home Show, CharlestonHomeAndDesign.com, and TryAnInteriorDesigner.com, this is Talking About a Home. Talking About a Home is a home show on the radio, featuring interviews with local experts, home tips, trends, and ideas you need to know to make your home better. I'm Michael Blaze with Five Star Real Estate, and this is Talking About a Home.
Good afternoon. I'm Tim Barkley with Charleston Home and Design Magazine, and I want to thank you for listening to Talking About a home show on the radio. That was the great Chris Isaacs with Talking About a Home, and special thanks to today's show producer, Taryn Berger. Well, today we've got a great show lined up for you. We're going to be hearing from Akashia Lohman with Circa Lighting, and also custom builder Kurt Wagner with Curtis Daniel Homes. Have a great weekend. And now joining us on the phone is Akashia Lohman with Circa Lighting. How are you doing, Akashia?
Good. How are you?
Good, good. Akashia, take a moment and tell everybody about Circa Lighting.
Sure. We are a lighting provider located on King Street downtown. We're on the corner of King and John. We primarily service custom home builders, designers, and architects here in Charleston.
Gotcha. And what kinds of, can you kind of describe the light fixtures that people will find when they visit Circa Lighting on King Street?
Sure. So our primary line of lights is by Visual Comfort. And within Visual Comfort, we have an array of designers. Some of the more well-known designers are Ralph Lauren, Aaron Lauder, and Kelly Wurstler. And so we have basically been doing design licenses with these designers over the years to produce their lighting designs. And about 2 years ago, we merged with another company, and we brought on some other well-known lighting providers. Murray Feist was one of them, Monte Carlo Fans, Tech Lighting, and Seagull Lighting were on the decorative side, and then Element Lighting on the recess side. So it's really given us the ability to extend the type of lighting we can do, and the budgets. We really can help anyone with any budget now. Before, we were kind of in the higher end spectrum of things, really working on, as I said, custom homes in the $1 million range typically and above, but now we work on houses that are, you know, $200,000-$300,000. So you can pretty much find anything you need from us.
That's great. And just so people know that may not be aware, how many locations does Circa Lighting have?
I think we're up to 16 now. So when I started 5 years ago, we had 6, and we have steadily grown as the years have gone by. With COVID, we have put some of our stores on hold, but we are still set up to continue to open stores. Let me give you all of our locations. There's so many, I don't want to miss any. So we have Atlanta, Austin, Boston, Charleston. Charlotte is set to open, hopefully in the beginning of 2021. Chicago, Denver, Greenwich, Houston, Laguna, London is our first abroad showroom. Manhattan, and we're set up to open in Miami and Minneapolis, Nashville, Norwalk, which is in Connecticut, San Francisco, Savannah, Scottsdale, and Washington, D.C., West Hollywood.
Oh, wow.
That's a lot.
It sure is. And definitely in all the hot spots around the country.
Yes.
I recall a few years ago, I had some friends visiting from Syracuse, New York, and one of the people were building a house up there, and she made a big deal about how she needed to go to Circa Lighting because she was going to be buying her several lighting pieces from you folks, and was happy that she was going to be here in Charleston so that she could go in person and pick them out. So
that's awesome. That's kind of something that I feel is a little bit unique to Charleston as compared to some of our other locations, because we have such a strong tourism hold here. We have people who come from all over the country, and it's interesting. Inevitably, when someone will walk into the store and you start talking with them, they say, "Oh, well, we're from Chicago, or we're from, you know, wherever in the United States, and we're here for a wedding, or we're here for, you know, a Spoleto Festival or Food and Wine or whatever." They'll say, "But we wanted to make a point to come see your lights because we're remodeling or we're building," and they carve out time to come to our store, which, you know, that's a huge honor to us. We love to hear that. But it's interesting because I don't know if our other stores really experience that quite as much as, mm-hmm. as we do here. And it's really cool too when we have a very strong second home market here, you know, especially out on Kiowa. So there again, we'll have people that will come in from, you know, all over the place, Nantucket and whatnot, and they're building a second home on Kiowa, and they can come into the store and kind of pick out their lights and then go back to wherever they're from and work with their designer there to say, "Well, I was in Circa and this is what I looked at," and so on and so forth. So it kind of, it's a unique little niche that we have here, which I think is so fascinating.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, and it's so cool to hear Charleston in the mix of all these other big cities that Circa Lighting has locations. It kind of makes me proud, you know, to be from Charleston, that you know, we're not I think we're the number 100 or so market in the United States, versus, you know, some of the, you know, Manhattan and San Francisco and stuff. They're like one or, you know, the top five. And so just the fact that we have a retail location, a Circa Lighting location in little old Charleston, that's pretty cool.
For sure. I mean, I feel the same way. It's funny, like, you know, when we're looking at how we're doing in sales, sometimes it's, you know, it's hard not to get totally discouraged because you're like, gosh, I'm up against New York City and I'm up against LA and Atlanta and, you know, these major markets. But I will tell you this, you know, Circa holds its own. When I was hired 5 years ago, originally we thought that I was going to split two territories, Savannah and Charleston, because, you know, they basically thought they didn't have to have independent sales representation in both markets. And by my second year, the company said, you know, "We really need you to focus on Charleston because it's growing so rapidly. Let's get somebody else in Savannah to handle that territory. And, you know, you take care of Charleston because there was so much opportunity here that, you know, wasn't getting developed." And so it's been really fascinating to kind of watch the market grow over the last 5.5 years.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure we have some listeners that have never stepped foot in Circa Lighting down on King Street. And they're probably asking themselves, what is it about Circa Lighting that's so special that so, you know, people from all over the world literally are, you know, they want to buy lighting for their home at Circa Lighting. How would you answer that?
Well, I will tell you this, something that is probably quite unique to our specific location is, you know, when you go into a lighting store or somewhere else, usually you're in, you know, 4,000 or 5,000 square feet and you are pretty much inundated with lights crammed into every single corner of the space, and it can be quite overwhelming. Here in our location on King Street, we are what we call small but mighty. We work out of 900 square feet, and within that 900 square feet, we have a very specifically curated selection of our fixtures, so we don't overwhelm our customer, but we do our best to display, you know, what we have to offer. So for example, you know, we have probably over 25 finishes at this point between lamps and you know, hardwire fixtures, between the different metal finishes from our hand rubbed antique brasses to aged iron to all of our reactive ceramic glazes and so on and so forth. So while our store is small, we try to display at least one of every single finish we have in the store. So that way, you know, if you're looking at something online among the 10,000 different selections you could possibly look at, we have at least that finish that you can kind of put your hands on and see, touch, and feel. But again, the store is curated in such a way where a customer can come in and not get overwhelmed and not feel like, oh my gosh, there's so much to look at. You know, we can basically take their aesthetic and walk them through the design process and say, you know, do you like something in this family? This is more transitional. Or if the customer says, no, I'd really like something more modern, then we can kind of look at a different light and then we can grow from there. And it gives us the ability to kind of help them without overwhelming them, which I think is huge because the building process itself is overwhelming. I mean, there's so many decisions that have to be made. And it's probably one of the most personal things a person will ever do in their whole life. And so, you know, we really want to make it an enjoyable experience. And you know, whether or not a customer buys lights from us, when we hear like, wow, that was, you know, we really enjoyed being in your store and your service was great and the people were friendly and the lights were beautiful. We love hearing that. Mm-hmm. That at the end of the day, making sure the customer's experience is a phenomenal one is one of our most important things that we look for and try to achieve.
What is the experience like? So somebody's building a house and they visit Circa Lighting. Are they spreading out their house plans at your store, and are you folks doing an entire takeoff for the house? Yeah.
So when you're building a house, we really encourage a customer to make an appointment so that way we can, you know, 100% focus our time with them and we don't have any other distractions coming through. So we ask the customer to bring in their plans. If they have a designer, we love to have the designer come in and help with their input. Sometimes even our builders will come in and get involved, which is great. But essentially, you know, we lay the plans out. We have a conference table at the back and we have a big screen television so we can kind of look at options that we might not have in the store, you know, in a larger format, which is great. But we start on the outside of the house and work our way in, and we will go through every single light in the whole house. And when I say that, I mean, that includes recessed down lights, under cabinet lights, you know, your utility lights, really anything and everything that's going to have electricity running to it, we can kind of cover. And, you know, the customer, basically, again, they tell us what they're looking for, what aesthetic, what finish. And then from there, we go to work giving them options and saying, how about this? Do you like this or do you like that? All of our ladies that work in the store with us have design degrees and have been involved in the design process for multiple years. I think at this point, we don't have a single person that's working for us here in Charleston that hasn't had at least 5 years of construction or design background specifically in the workforce. And then again, all of them also have design degrees. So they're educated, you know, highly educated, where they can really help a person kind of hone in on what they're looking for and accomplish it, you know, relatively quickly. So it's not an elongated or dragged out process where, you know, the customer gets tired and like I said earlier, overwhelmed. We try and make it enjoyable and have a good time with it and all that fun stuff.
So people will come to Circa Lighting and buy everything for their house, including the can lighting and under cabinet lighting and things like that. Do some people come in and there are certain areas where they just want to splurge with Circa Lighting, you know, with maybe chandeliers or some pendants or things like that over the island or what have you?
For sure. Yeah. I mean, like you just said, we have customers who will come in and buy the entire house. And just to touch real quick on the recessed, we have a cloud in the showroom now that displays our recessed fixtures with Element Lighting, the line I referenced earlier. So again, their customers can really see, you know, what they would be getting in their space installed. They can play with the levels of light and all of that fun, you know, kind of technical stuff that sometimes gets forgotten, but at the end of the day, it's very important. You know, it's amazing how far we've come in technology with recessed lights. Our standard recessed downlight is 3 inches, and we actually have one that's 2. And when you put them in the ceiling, if you do what we call a flangeless application, which is, you know, totally smooth to the drywall, there's no trim that shows at all, the hole in your ceiling is actually around 1.5 inches on the 2-inch product. Oh. And so basically, you really don't see or notice these lights, but the power of light that they put out is so high quality that it really illuminates the space in a beautiful way. But it's not that like big glaring 6 or 5 inch can light that we've, you know, been used to for years and years. So that's something that we can always help with. And then again, to your point, we do always have the customers that come in and, you know, they say, hey, I'm just looking for a spectacular dining room chandelier, or I really want to make a statement with my kitchen island. And, you know, they like you said, they want to splurge, and they may have bought some stuff from some other people or you know, might be doing a remodel, and that's what they're going to start with. So we can also help with those, you know, kind of one-off applications as well. And we can come out to the house in that situation, whether it's new construction or a remodel, and again, help guide the customer through the process and make sure that whatever they're picking out fits the space appropriately as far as the overall height and, you know, is this too big or is this too small, that kind of thing. So that way, again, you know, they're getting something that looks spectacular but also is appropriate for the space.
Is that when you do a walkthrough at a home, is the electrician usually part of that too?
Yes, sir. So on new construction and some remodels, typically the walkthrough includes the builder and the electrician, and then sometimes a designer and a homeowner are also present. But there again, we basically pull out the plans. We walk through the entire house. We discuss placement of fixtures, quantities of fixtures, especially on the recess side. That's when things might change there on the fly, you know, because you're in the space and you say, well, gosh, we don't need 8 downlights in this kitchen. We can do 6, especially because we've got 2 pendants going on over the island and we have under cabinet light. And, you know, oh, there's a joist here in the way, so we can't center one of these downlights, so let's remove it. You know, things like that, that, you know, as well as the plans can be laid out, sometimes things literally change in the field. You know, and then on the decorative side, like, oh, gosh, we have a door swing here. So we have an 8-foot door on a 10-foot ceiling. So the 36-inch fixture that we thought we could have here might not work. We need to find something that's going to, you know, clear this door swing. So things like that, that we can always make sure we're covering in the process of the build or the remodel, to where once the lights aren't ordered and the electrician's putting them up, they don't call us and say, hey, we have an issue. We can attack those issues before they even arise and make sure that, you know, we get them covered.
Yeah, that's such a valuable service that Circa Lighting is offering, to be able to go out to the job site and walk through to determine where all the recessed lighting and all the other lighting is going. Because the last thing, you know, in my experience, usually electricians are not the type that are going to, they would rather take the order from, you know, from the GC, versus, they're not going to say, oh, I think you might have a dark spot over here. They just, you know, they're there to do the dirty work, I guess you'd say. So that's where you, a lighting specialist at Circa Lighting, you can point out, I think you're going to have a dark spot, or you don't want to, we want to make sure that we maybe add this or that kind of light in this spot, because it might be dark, right?
Mm-hmm, for sure. And I mean, to touch on that, the electricians are great, but, you know, like you said, they're there to kind of like get those lights in, get them up, get them working. And, you know, they, on their end, they're running, you know, miles and miles of wire and things like that in the house. So their focus is, you know, is on really putting the stuff in the house and not necessarily like, is it going to produce the light that the homeowner is looking for? So that's something we take into consideration when we're looking at the plans, when we're in the space. And we also have certified lighting designers on staff. We're working on getting one here in Charleston, hopefully soon, but we have someone in Atlanta who is a great resource, and he can look at the plans and say, you know, this is the lighting layout that I would suggest, and here's what I would change. And we've even brought him in on a couple of jobs here in Charleston to really walk through and make sure that the lighting needs are meeting what the customer's expectations are. You know, and he gets down into the nitty-gritty kind of this many lumens need to be put out for this many square feet, and these, you know, sometimes for lack of a better expression, these nerdy, you know, scientific, mathematical light output, you know, this is what you need, that sometimes people don't always think about. And I'll be honest, you know, 4 years ago when I started in lighting, I was just saying, well, this is beautiful, but I didn't always consider, oh, it'll also light your space in a very, you know, elegant way, and it will provide you actual task lighting as well. So it's been great to have the lighting designers come on board and, you know, take people's plans and lay them out with all the lights that they need. We have one lighting designer who has done some phenomenal CAD drawings and put fixtures into actual plans and laid them out with their light output in different UV tones, so that way a customer can actually see how that light's going to emit into the space, and it's super impressive.
Is everything LED these days?
For the most part, you know, we still have a lot of fixtures that will have what we call an Edison bulb in them. But the great thing is again, the bulb manufacturers have come such a long way with their abilities to produce an LED bulb, or technically it's a lamp that looks beautiful, but again, is an LED. So we have a lot of filament LEDs these days that still achieve that kind of soft and the cool spiral filament look, but then you don't have to change it for, like, you know, 15 years or so. All of our recessed fixtures are actually integrated LEDs. So as far as changing those, there's not even a bulb to change, which is great. And they're rated, you know, for 50,000 hours. So by the time they go out, you know, we can change the diode in them, but, you know, by the time they go out, it'll probably be time to remodel the house is what we've told most people. Right. So, it's, you know, it's been very fascinating to kind of watch how the LED side of things has progressed in the last 3 years. It's just made leaps and bounds. So it's been great to kind of be a part of that.
Are there any fixtures that Circa Lighting has created that, you know, take inspiration from Charleston, or is there like a Charleston look to some of the fixtures?
I think so. I mean, a lot of our fixtures are hand-rubbed antique brass, which I think is very Charlestonian. It's, you know, it borders on the traditional side of things, which we, you know, a lot of our wonderful historic homes here are obviously going to be more traditional. One of our designers is actually out of Atlanta, so she's got a great Southern flair. Suzanne Kassler is her name. And then I think also another designer, Barbara Berry, does a lot of kind of more elegant, beautiful designs. I don't think we have any lights that are, like, specifically known as Charleston lights, but I think a lot of them work in our southern kind of southern coastal area. Aaron Lauder has done a lot with plaster and white specifically, which is so beautiful here on the coast. So that's kind of been really neat to see. And then we have another designer who's relatively new, Julie Neal, and she's from New Orleans. And so again, she's got this great kind of southern coastal flair, and she's used some really pretty celadon greens and colors like that, that kind of harken to this, like, southern and very coastal area that we live in. So that's been great to kind of see those designs come out of, you know, our region, I guess you would say, and kind of work their way into the historic homes here and some of the new construction as well. So,
well, I'm you've got me excited to go buy lighting. I don't know why. but how can folks get more information about Circa Lighting?
Sure. So always going online is a great resource, circalighting.com. They can see all of our products there, even the recess products. And then we always encourage people to come into the store. We're at 426 King Street, which is on the corner of King and John. We are open Monday through Friday, and hopefully we'll be open on Saturdays again now. With COVID, we are open by appointment only, so we do ask customers to just give us a call if they'd like to come in. That way we can make sure we work them into the space in a safe and healthy manner. And, you know, again, hopefully as things progress, we'll be able to get back to more of normal operating hours, but we're still doing everything and anything we can to accommodate different people's needs for the time being until, you know, hopefully this whole crisis gets behind us.
All right. Well, good deal. Well, we have been talking with Acacia Lohman with Circa Lighting. Thanks so much, Acacia.
Thank you.
And joining us on the phone is custom builder Kurt Wagner with Curtis Daniel Homes. How you doing, Kurt?
I'm doing very well. Thanks for having me.
Sure. Kurt, take a moment and tell everybody about Curtis Daniel Homes.
Sure. We started about 2 years ago, and our goal is to surpass the ordinary in all aspects of our business. Customer satisfaction, the way we build, in all aspects. And so we are focused on Daniel Island and Mount Pleasant right now, but certainly looking to expand and build homes in other areas. We have a project that will be coming up on IOP. And so we're excited. We're continuing to grow and looking to continue to build great custom homes for our clients.
So you mentioned that that Curtis Daniel Homes has been around for a couple of years now. What's your background? How did you get into the custom home building business?
Sure. So I've always had a passion for architecture and actually spent some time as an architecture major in college, but one thing led to another and ended up with an accounting degree. So after a couple of years in public accounting, which I knew wasn't my path, ended up accepting a position with a national home builder and have been in the industry for over 20 years now, in all varieties and aspects of positions, but decided a couple of years ago to start my own company and focus on custom homes. And so that's what we're doing.
Well, what great fields that for you to have a background in? First of all, architecture. I think that's incredibly important to even if you only were an architect major for a couple of years. I'm sure you gained a lot of great insight and experience from that.
Sure did. Yes, it's been like I said, a passion. I had a drafting table in my bedroom when I was a kid, and it's always been a passion. I think it might drive some of my architect friends a little crazy, but I like to think that I bring an added value to that part of the project.
Now, why do you say that? What drives your architect friends crazy?
Just the attention to detail and making sure that we've got the door swings in the right locations. We've got, you know, as you're thinking about and looking at plans, you need to be thinking about how the house is going to live. And so I focus on that quite a bit. One of my clients from Daniel Island had requested that I be at all of the architecture meetings, which I'm happy to do. And so spent a lot of time in those meetings with my client and the architect, just talking about and making sure that we were coming up with the best home to serve the needs of that client.
Interesting. And then you mentioned that you have an accounting degree, and that's incredibly important in your line of work as a custom builder, because for example, like how many hours does it take for you to create a bid for a custom home for a potential customer?
You know, over the course of preparing that bid, it's probably, you know, a few days of total time, but it's spread out over the course of a few weeks. And I like to get that bid back as quickly as I can, but I also want to make sure that we're accurate. And so there are a good number of the trades that I will actually ask for them to submit bids in that process. And then we're estimating, but there's a constant back and forth between the budget and the actuals, letting clients know where they are in terms of the cost of their home, whether there's allowances or not, and just making sure that they're informed as to the cost and that we are all on the same page, because nobody likes the surprise at the end.
You're exactly right. And so much when I had a friend who when we were getting ready to build our home about 11 years ago, he said, be careful, because when you get going, you're going to be spending 100s like you're spending dollars. And it can really get out of hand, and that mentality that the homeowner has is like, well, you know, this is going to be my forever home, or this is going to be a home we're going to be in for a long time. Might as well do it now, you know, go with this or that. And then all of a sudden the original bid can really kind of balloon, right?
It sure can. And, you know, I tell clients at the beginning, you know, we're going to make thousands of decisions. And if every one of those decisions we make is a, let's just say hundreds of decisions. So if every decision was $20, it's only a $2,000 difference at the end. But a lot of the decisions we'll make are $1,000 decisions. And so you put 100 $1,000 decisions together, and it's quite a bit of a difference in your final budget. And so there are a few of us who have the luxury of not being concerned about that. But for most of us, it is a concern. And so what we try to do is, and upfront, I try and have the client focus on what is most important to them. And it might be the kitchen because they love to cook. It might be the outdoor area because they like to hang out at the pool with friends and family. And so let's focus on those things. Let's make sure we get them the best that they can be. And if you go over budget in those couple of areas, that might be okay with you. But then in the other areas, for instance, secondary bedrooms, you know, the laundry room, that might be where we actually say, okay, we're going to stick exactly to the budget, or maybe we even try and shave some dollars in those areas. But let's focus on what's important and make sure we get those right, and then try and stay on budget for the rest of the project as well.
You know, I've talked to many builders over the years, and one of the questions that drives them crazy the most is, what's the cost per square foot going to be? And that's such a tricky question. It's something that a lot of homeowners base their decision on which builder that they're going to hire. And but just making a few changes as the house is under construction can really blow up that cost per square foot. For example, you decide that you want to add an elevator, for example, and all of a sudden that's gonna boost the cost per square foot. So is that a tricky thing for you to talk to homeowners about?
It really is. It's probably the most tricky thing to talk about. And I try to be, you know, I think everybody wants a home builder they can trust. And so certainly one of the things that I want to be is a trustworthy home builder. And I think sometimes when we're reluctant to answer that question about how much does it cost to build, folks think that we're trying to hide something, but we're really not. It's just there are so many different components that go into a build, and that can change it significantly. The siding choice, the flooring choice, how we finish that flooring choice, trim details, and what kind of trim we use. And so there's just so many different variables, appliances, right? You can wildly different costs on different brands of appliances. And so it's really hard to zero in on a price per square foot. Once we know where that client is building, once we understand kind of the parameters of what they're thinking, we can start to zero in. But just a standard how much does it cost to build question is very difficult to answer.
Yeah, I agree. How do you talk about how you as a custom builder, what's your level of communication with your customers at Curtis Daniel Homes?
Sure. I'm in constant communication with them, and you know, it might be it might not be every day, but there are times during a build where it might be every day, and we might go a couple of weeks without seeing each other, or we might see each other three or four times in 1 week. I'm typically at the job site at least once a day, understanding what's happening and communicating with the customers. I like to tell them, you can reach me day or night. It doesn't matter what time. If I'm not working, I'm thinking about work. And so if you want to call me in the evenings or on the weekends, that's fine. I might not always be able to answer your call when you're calling, but certainly we'll get back to you in very short order. And so I'm trying to constantly be in communication with them, regardless of whether you've built one house or 100 houses. I still think it's an exciting time. Can also be an emotional and frustrating time. And so I think more communication eases those concerns and makes it a more pleasurable experience.
Yeah, I did you ever take a psychology course or any kind of marriage counseling course in college? Because you definitely have to draw on those skills sometimes when you're dealing with the customer, right?
You sure do. And while I haven't taken any of courses necessarily, I've been in the industry long enough to know kind of where the pitfalls and challenges are. And you know, I've sat in meetings where we've had folks disagree on which direction we should go, and I point out the pros and the cons to each different direction. And ultimately, I think we've been able to get there without too much turmoil. So it's been good.
Do you require your customers to choose all of the items that are going into a custom home in advance, or is that done in stages while the house is under construction?
Certainly, the more we can pick up front, the better. And we run into less trouble the more selections we can make earlier in the process. However, I do allow there to be selections while the build is going on and as we get closer. Sometimes tile, for instance, if we pick that way in advance, by the time we got to needing the tile, maybe that tile is discontinued and they need to go back and make another selection anyway. And so the more we can do up front, the better. Certainly staying on schedule and getting those selections made on time is critical to the timing of the build, but certainly we make some of those selections while the build is in process.
You know, I have the greatest respect for builders and architects, even interior designers, who can look at a one-dimensional set of plans and envision exactly what it's going to look like when it's built. And most homeowners don't have that vision. And how do you help homeowners, your customers, overcome that challenge?
Well, it's difficult. I've had some firsthand experience because my wife is not capable of looking at plans and understanding how the house will look and feel. And so I've had to explain to her why I think something is good or why I think we might need to adjust something on a particular house. And so you're right. I've been able to look at a set of plans and mentally walk through that house and know how it will feel and see things that I think might need to be adjusted. And so and that's why I like to be involved during the architectural process. I have great respect for what the architects do. They're trying to make it functional as well as aesthetically pleasing. And so I like working through that process, but then also just talking to customers and making sure they understand how it's going to feel and answering any questions. And then certainly getting them there as quickly as we can as the build is under process so that they can look and feel. And if we need to make adjustments as we go, we can do that as well.
How How did you come up with the name Curtis Daniel Holmes? Is there a Daniel involved?
There is not. That's my middle name.
Oh, okay.
And it's if I had to do it over again, I might not choose it because it's created some challenges and some just some, you know, confusion amongst people. But no, Curtis Daniel Wegner is my full given name. I go by Kurt Wegner. And Curtis Daniel Holmes was the name that I chose for my company. And so we've gone past the point of no return. So it's going to stay. And hopefully it won't create too much confusion in the marketplace.
Right, right. Well, you mentioned that you have some projects on Daniel Island and Mount Pleasant. Can you talk about those a little bit?
Sure. I recently finished a home on Captain's Island, which was a fun build, and have another project currently under construction on Captain's Island that should be finished probably in the September-October timeframe. And so both great builds, and looking forward to doing more work on Captain's Island. I also have a house under construction that is should be complete by the end of July in a little community off of Rifle Range Road called Shell Landing. That home's available, and I think it's a great little community, and I think the house that we have built is going to be a great little house for somebody going forward. And then I also have two homes coming up in Bell Hall. Those will be inventory homes that will be available, so they're on my website now. If people want to take a look at my website and see those homes. And the last project that I have is one on IOP. So a client of mine purchased a teardown on IOP. We're working through the architecture as we speak, and hope to get that home started in the next 4 to 6 months, and looking forward to that one as well.
So it sounds like a few of these homes are you're building as spec homes?
I am, yes, yep. And so in order to fill in the gaps as I continue to grow my business, we are doing some specs, and those two in Bell Hall will be specs, and the one on Rifle Range is also a spec home.
Some builders prefer to do spec houses versus, working with a customer that is going to be choosing all the selections for a custom home. I would imagine it's you're able to streamline the process a little bit more when you're building a spec house.
You sure are. There's at least one less person involved in each of the decisions. But I like working with customers, and ultimately, every time I make a decision on a spec home, I say, "Well, is somebody going to like this one?" And so it there's some comfort in knowing that the house that I'm building for someone is exactly the way they want it. And so I enjoy the contract build, working with customers a little bit more than the specs, but do the specs to fill in the business.
How do you handle, because this is inevitable, it happens with every builder on every house, there's going to be a snafu, there's going to be some sort of something that happens, the wrong material gets delivered, or the subcontractor makes a mistake on an installation. How do you handle that when a problem like that pops up?
Sure, and I like to tell my clients when we get started and we're talking, there's going to be bumps in the road. Any builder who suggests that it's going to be smooth sailing the entire time, it just doesn't happen. And so in every build, there's inevitably a few bumps in the road. And communication is the number one thing to handling those bumps in the road and talking about them and ultimately making them right. Sometimes when something happens and you discuss it with a client, they say, "Well, that's not what I was expecting, but I really like it that way. Let's keep it." And other times they say, "No, that's not what we were looking for." And then we go ahead and fix it. But there are going to be those bumps in the road. I think making sure that we understand that there will be bumps in the road. And then I have a trade partner who always says something to me that resonates with me. And he says, "Kurt, you can't break anything that I can't fix. And while we're not trying to break anything, I like to tell clients that there's nothing that we can't make right. And so that's our number one goal, is to make it right, make sure the customer is happy. But there will be bumps in the road for sure.
You know, we're in a, I guess you would call it a crisis right now, which, you know, we will end at some point. But it kind of reminds me a little bit of about 10 or 12 years ago when, in 2008, when the country was going through the financial crisis. And, I remember talking to some builders back then, and things, slowed down, greatly slowed down. People weren't spending money. They weren't able to get loans. That's a sharp contrast to what's happening today. Things are still moving, and people are building, continuing to build and remodel homes and so forth. But one of the things that a few builders told me about 10, 12 years ago was when builders were bidding for jobs, they were kind of lowballing the allowances that were going into the bid. And just to, you know, to circle back to that question about the cost per square foot, to so that the cost per square foot was going to be lower. And I began hearing from builders stories about customers saying, you know, they came back to me afterwards and you know, it turned out it was, you know, more expensive to build with this other builder when we thought we were going to save money. What do you say to that about creating realistic allowances?
Yeah, I think that's important, that it's one of the things that a client looks at when they're comparing builders is, you know, what is that trim level? And if they have questions, they should certainly ask them, you know, what does that look like? What is the tile allowance? What were you expecting with that allowance? Or what does the trim look like? Could you send me to a house where I could see what the trim package you have envisioned looks like? And then make sure that that's what the customer is getting. You know, one of the things that I try and do when I prepare a bid for someone is make sure that they can build the house they're expecting with the bid. And if they can't, then I think I've been dishonest in my bid process. And so I just had a situation recently where one of the costs for an allowance that I had given them came in higher. And when I looked at it, I said, I was a little bit off on that bid. Are on that allowance, and so I increased my allowance and basically ate the cost because I felt like it was the right thing to do. And so I think it's important that people look at those allowances, make sure that it's going to cover what they're thinking. Some people have a very good idea of tile, for instance, and tile it's one of the things that I bring up most frequently because it's one of the areas that can have the biggest spread in terms of cost. We can do a house that looks great and averages, you know, just a few dollars a square foot for tile, or we can spend $25, $30 a square foot for tile, and the total cost is tremendously different. And so let's talk about what the expectations are and then make sure that the bid covers that expectation.
Yeah, I think that's a key word you just used, expectation, because it's really, really important to pay attention and to have a clear understanding of the allowances that go into a bid, because you know, people are building their dream home, and it's very, very easy to say, well, this is my dream home, so I want, you know, the best, and I want this and this and this and all these extras. And you know, if the bid has a very, very low allowance, say for lighting, for example, there's going to be a reckoning, you know, at some point they're going to go, oh my gosh, you're saying that I only have $10,000 for lighting? I just looked at a fixture that was $10,000.
Right. It's lighting is another one that the difference in a lighting package for a particular house could be significantly different depending on the fixtures we pick. And one of the things that I want, right, for me, this is about growing this business, Curtis Daniel Homes, and being in it for the long run. And if I try and win jobs by providing low allowances that ultimately don't make that customer happy, I'm not sure that I get a referral. And what I'm looking for is a 100% referral rate. Mm-hmm. And that's talking about everything in an open and honest manner, and not winning a job because I've provided low allowances. And lighting is another one. Lighting is great, but boy, can it change the overall cost of a project with high-end fixtures. And there's ways to go about getting a lighting package that is more affordable. And it's one of the other things that I think interior designers do a great job of doing is helping. I encourage all of my buyers to work with an interior designer. I have one that I work with closely on my spec homes to help me make some good choices and also help me find the deals that will help the house look great. But I think that is a critical component to the process, and I think making sure that we can fit within those budgets is good. And sometimes we might decide to go over, and that's okay if that's a conscious decision we've made. But let's make sure we've got the right allowances to finish the home the way we expected it.
Boy, you just nailed it though with the recommendation of using an interior designer. I'm a big advocate for that, and it's amazing how many people don't necessarily do their homework, or they don't necessarily rely on a professional to help them make those choices, that the selections that go into a custom home. And you know, it's almost, I heard a builder tell me one time that that people, some people do more research on buying a car than they do on, you know, what's going to go into a custom home. And such a big difference in the price, and you know, the old cliche about it's your biggest investment, but it's true. And it's very, very easy to make mistakes on your own versus having a professional, a design professional that can guide you through the process. And I always say it's like having a really good friend go shopping with you, but you don't have, there aren't that many friends that are willing to do that on a day in and day out. That's where the design professional comes in.
They sure do. And, you know, each of the places that we might utilize the help of a design professional have great internal folks. The lighting store has a great designer that can help us make choices. The tile has a great interior designer that can help us make great tile choices. But somebody needs to pull that all together. Yep. And that's where I think the interior designer understanding the look and feel that you're going for in your home really helps to make the right choices in all of those different places. I have a style that I like, but you know, I still prefer to have somebody helping me make sure that my house is going to look like one cohesive unit versus 10 different rooms, for instance. And so, big believer in having that person along for the ride. Some times the interior designer, customer might want them involved in every decision. And other times they might say, well, we don't have the budget for that. We just want them involved in these key areas. And I think either way is good. But I think designing that or having that interior design professional as part of the build team is important.
Yeah, it helps to ensure that everyone's going to be happy with the results. And there's one thing just about every homeowner, there's an expectation that, you know, when they decide, okay, you know, the couple is talking and they say, okay, let's build a house, and they make that decision, and then they say, okay, let's spend X amount on that house. And the expectation is it's going to be an amazing house when all is said and done. And the last thing that you want is to be there to be disappointment, or to wish, oh, I wish I had done this, or this was left out. And it's very, very tempting to get that free advice, you know, maybe from the the showroom, the different design people in the showrooms, but they don't see the whole picture, and like a design an interior designer will do.
Absolutely. And you know, I had a friend of mine describe or talk about the different choices that they have available, and I this is the way I operate, is I want to explain to a client, here's all your different choices in a particular area, and you know, there's good, better, and best, and all of those have different prices along the way. And you know, the friend said, you know, I might not be able to afford them, but I want to know about all those opportunities, in ways that I can make my house better or different, and more appealing. And so I like to present all of them, make sure that people have those choices, and then let them make the decision in terms of where they want to spend the money. But the idea is, let's get all of the choices, let's get a design professional to help us understand those choices, and then put the house together the best that we can.
Mm-hmm. Well, how can folks get more information about Curtis Daniel Homes?
So I think the best way is to take a look at my website. The new website just went live last week, and so I'm pretty excited about it. There's some great professional photography of the first home that I built on Daniel Island. Just a really incredible house. There's a house that I built in Grassy Creek, which is also on the website. There's just some iPhone shots that I took of that home right now, but that house was professionally photographed last week, and so within a week or two, we'll have some professional shots done there as well. And then the other houses that are in process are also listed on that website. So it gives you a little bit of insight into me and who I am in the business itself. And then, of course, there's a number listed on the website and an email address. And if you want to get in touch with me, go ahead and give me a call. We can have a conversation. You know, COVID sort of changes the way we meet these days. But we can also meet in social distance and get a chance to know each other. So any of those ways, I think, is good. But welcome an opportunity to get to meet some folks and talk to them about their build.
Well, good deal. Well, we have been talking with custom builder Kurt Wagner with Curtis Daniel Homes. Thanks so much, Kurt.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Talking About a Home, a home show on the radio. Talking About a Home is brought to you by the publishers of Charleston Home and Design Magazine and the organizers of the Charleston Home and Design Show, the Daniel Island Luxury Home Tour, and the Charleston Fall Home Show. To make contact with any of the companies featured today, visit charlestonhomeanddesign.com. Home to over 200 local home-related companies motivated to work with you. That's charlestonhomeanddesign.com. Please tune in again next Saturday.